Your Bible open to the book of Hosea, and tonight I want to give you a couple of things out of chapter 2, but before I do, last week when we left off in chapter 1, there were three things that we said we wanted to do. We wanted to give revelation, and we talked about how that the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea in chapter number 1, verse 1, also in verse number 2, it says the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. That God chose Hosea to prophesy, well, a little differently. God wanted him to prophesy an action sermon, a living sermon. He said, I want you to live out this prophecy. And so he said, what I want you to do is I want you to live out the message that I'm sending to my people. And so he said, because my people, and you'll find this in verse number 2, he said, what I want you to do, Hosea, is I want you to go and I want you to take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. And he said, here's why I want you to do it. For the land, meaning Israel, hath committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. And he said, I want you to show the relationship and the emotion and all that's going on with me and my people. I want you to show it through the action that I've asked you to take, to be a living sermon to my people. And so the Bible says in verse number 3 of chapter 1, so we went and took Gomer. Now, I heard someone say years ago, undoubtedly Gomer was a very beautiful lady, because you can't have a name like Gomer, and somebody's going to get angry at me. I don't want you to get angry, but, you know, it's an unusual name. It is. But it's a name that this lady had, and she was the daughter of Diblaim. And the scripture, some people, the reason I go into this, some people have tried to say, well, you know what? This is an allegory. No, it's not. This is a real story. This really happened. And God went to his servant, he went to his prophet, and he said, this is what I want you to do. Now, there's been some debate, and I'm not going to get into it. Was Gomer a harlot? Was she a prostitute? Was she a harlot when Hosea chose her? Did she become that? Well, or was she leaning toward that? Did she have those tendencies? And we could go on and speculate. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say. I have my own position on that. I think that this, personally, I think that it's something that she got into. I don't think she was there. I think she took the scripture says in verse number 3 that when he went, he took the Gomer, which was the daughter of Diblaim. She was just a woman that she had some tendencies. Maybe she had some things that was leaning that way. And you know, there are things, there's sin that leads to sin. You understand that. Sometimes we look at the big things, but it's the small foxes, right? You understand that, the spoil of the vines. It's the small things that we overlook that sometimes lead to what we consider gross sin. And so sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm not involved in that. And I do this, but I'm not involved in that, because we think, well, that's big. But it's the small things that we allow to go unchecked in our lives that lead us to get off track in a major way. And so I just want to tell you something. You might think that thing that you're doing is very small, but if it's sin, it's not small to God. And it's not small to you. And so you might think, well, that's small and no one knows about it. But you know what? You know about it. And God knows about it. And if it's left unchecked, it's only going to fester. And it's going to take root. And it's going to spring forth and bring forth greater disobedience in our lives. And so deal with sin thoroughly in your life. That would be my advice to you tonight. Deal with sin thoroughly. Now, we've seen that Hosea is a picture of God. He's the prophet of God. And he's taken someone that's going to be unfaithful. Just like God knew, because God knows all things. God knew that when he chose Abram to become the father of the faithful, when he chose Abram to have the seed Isaac, that through him that the children of Israel would come, God knew that Israel was going to turn their back and rebel against him, but yet he chose them anyway. And so we find that that's exactly what Hosea is a picture of. He's a picture of God who chose a people who he knew was going to be unfaithful. He knew that. And then we have Gomer. And we have Gomer, the scripture says, that was this person of whoredoms, a person that was involved in harlotry. And she's a picture of the children of Israel. Because they did. They turned to other gods. They turned to Baal. They turned to the gods of the Canaanites. They turned to the gods of those nations surrounding them. Instead of the one true and living God. Instead of being thankful to Him. Listen, can I tell you that ingratitude is one of the grossest sins that there is. And yet it's practiced so often in all of our lives. We have to be cautious not to become ungrateful for the goodness of God. When you go back into Romans chapter 1, and I don't want you to turn there, but you'll find before God begins to address the gross sin of the things in Romans chapter 1, He talks about neither were they thankful. You see, an unthankful spirit just leads to so much sin. It leads to the sin of thinking God owes us something. And that we are to tell God what to do and instead of God telling us what to do. And that we are gods ourselves. And who are we to thank, you know? It's just something to really be mindful of. God help me not to become unthankful in my life. I pray that every day of my life, I want to be thankful to God for His goodness in my life. It's so easy to get caught up in murmuring and complaining to where we just think that, you know, everything should happen a certain way, and when it doesn't, we just get all, you know, out of sorts and we murmur and complain instead of thanking God for another day to live. It's just good to be alive. Amen. I'm breathing God's air right now, and if you're breathing, you are too. It's God's air. I drank God's water today. I eat God's food today, you see. And if we're not careful, we won't be thankful that way. And we'll just say, well, you know what? That I'm owed that. You are. Who told you that? And we could just become ungrateful and unthankful. Well, that's what we see in the life of Gomer. And then we see her children had a message. These three children, the Bible says, is Jezreel. You'll see that in verse number 5. Well, verse number 4 says, the Lord said, said unto him, call his name Jezreel. And that means to sow or to scatter. We talked about that. And then the second child in verse number 6, she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, which means without pity or mercy. And really, it could mean with no compassion or love. And we'll discuss that in a moment. Because if you look over in chapter number 2, you'll see in chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, say unto your brethren, Amy, Ann, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Not Lo, Amy, or Lo, Ruhamah. Which means no. No mercy. No pity. But here it is pity. It is mercy. It is love. And then that Amy, as you see down here in verse number 9, God said, call his name when she conceived again in verse number 8 it says, no sooner has she weaned Lo-Ruhamah that she conceived and bare a son. And then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. But when you get to chapter 2, it says, say unto your brethren, Ami, not Lo-Ami, and Ruhamah, not Lo-Ruhamah. Not that you're not my people, but you're going to be my people. Not that there is no pity or love or mercy, but there will be pity, love, and mercy. So you see, the children that was born had a message to them. And it was a message of judgment. But it was also a message that in judgment, God will mingle mercy. God will give a door of hope. God will give an opportunity for those that have erred and strayed to come back. And that's what chapter 2, verse number 1 is saying. It's saying, listen, though now there is no mercy, there's no pity because of the state that you're in, because of the way you have turned from me. But God said, I'm going to lead you back in my grace. I'm not going to leave you to yourself. I'm not going to let you go. Don't you know that I talked about this this to you last week, how in verse number, let me find this here, in verse number 2, it says that, verse number 3, the latter part of it says, which conceived and bare him a son. And so I do believe that this first child was Hosea's. But when you look at verse number 6, it says she conceived again and bare a daughter, not a daughter to him. And then it says the same thing in verse number 9. It says, then said God, called his name, or verse number 8, and when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, not a son to him. I believe these are the children of her whoredoms. And so God said, I'm sending a message here. And the message is that there's going to be judgment. The message is that there's not going to be pity and there's not going to be mercy in the state that you're in. You're not going to experience it. Now, it can be expressed. You understand that. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to think with me. You have to think with me, all right? God says, I'm going to not show you mercy. I'm not going to show you pity. I'm not going to show you love. You say, now, wait a minute. God always loves. God said in Jeremiah 31 that I have loved thee with an everlasting love. In John chapter 13, the scripture says that Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, loved them to the end. And so how could God not love his people, his children? Well, there's a difference between love being expressed and love being experienced. And let me show you what I'm talking about. Hold your place here just for a moment. And I want you to turn to the book of Jude. And this may help somebody tonight. I really was not going to talk about this, but I just feel led to. Because there may be somebody here that feels like, you know what, God doesn't love me. Though you read it in the Bible and you read, God does love me, yet you don't feel loved. Now, I want to say something about God's love, and I want you to hear me very clearly. God is love, but God is also light. See, God loves with a holy love. When the Bible says God is love in 1 John 4, and it says that God is light in 1 John chapter 1, what God is telling us is that God's love is a holy love. It's not this mushy, squishy Valentine's Day love. Do you understand me? I hope that you do. It's not this kind of love that winks at sin, that coddles sinners. God loves sinners, but I'm going to tell you something. He deals with sin. God will not overlook sin. God will not overlook sin, brethren. Please hear me. We have gotten to a place in our churches today, even in our Bible-believing churches, to where we have bought into the lie that God somehow will overlook our sin because he loves us. God will not overlook our sin. God will forgive our sin. He's faithful that way. He's just that way. And if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin because he loves us. But please don't think that this God that I speak to you of, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is some God that is some Cupid. That is ridiculous. That he just has this mushy love, and no matter what we do, he'll just accept it. That is not so. Are you in Jude? Look, if you would, in Jude, in verse number 21. What an interesting verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Isn't that something? Keep yourselves in the love of God. What do you mean, Jude? What do you mean? Don't get to the place to where you are not experiencing the love that God is expressing. That's what's being taught here. See, God expresses his love because God is love. It's intrinsic. It's who he is. But you can get to a place, and I can get to a place, though I am an object of God's love, through the expression that I will not be experiencing it. And so I will feel unloved. I will feel God doesn't love me. Sin does that to my heart. Sin does that to your heart. Sin will cause us to doubt God's love, God's forgiveness. Amen. And so as we go back to Hosea, There was this prophet, a real prophet, a real man who lived, and God said, hey, I want you to prophesy. I've been trying to God said, I've been preaching, I've been speaking through my prophets, and they will not hear my word, they will not receive my message, and so I want to put on like a drama. I want you to live a message to my people. And don't you know that when Hosea, the man of God, chose Gomer, maybe she was known for her, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but I just feel as though that there was talk. There was talk. It didn't take her long to find her lovers. And we're going to go to that in just a moment. And I think that it got the people of God's attention. And they began to think, what's going on? Is it right for a preacher to marry someone like that? Why did he marry her? And then when she began to practice her whoredoms, can't you imagine that people were saying something like this? Why don't he just leave her and be done with it? Do you think that God was trying to get them the message, because I haven't left you and been done with it? Do you think that perhaps that's what God was trying to get them to see? Is it to see themselves in Gomer? You're her. You want me to leave her. Do you want God to leave you? It's so easy to pass judgment on someone else that's doing the same thing that we're doing. And God is telling these people, you're blind. You're deceived. And so he said, there's judgment coming. Now this woman, Gomer, it appears that she stayed with Hosea for a period of time and then she left. And chapter 2 kind of picks that up, and I just want to give an overview of chapter 2 and I'll be done tonight. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, the first three chapters kind of lay the foundation for the book. It kind of takes us into the home of Hosea. And it's really not your, what would be considered your model Christian home, or in this day, a home of the prophet. And so here's a guy, and I believe Hosea is a good man. His name means salvation. That's what the name Hosea means. It's kind of the derivative from the word Joshua, or Jeshua, or Jesus. And so you've got this man who's a good man, and he's a prophet of God, and he wants to do what's right, and God says, hey, I want you to do this. And so he does it. He does what God says, because he's that kind of guy. Even though it's a hard thing, he does it because he trusts God with his life. You know, when you trust God with your life, you're not afraid to do the hard stuff. You do it because God said do it, not because you approve of it or not. You do it because God said do it. Why? You trust God with your life. Hey, by the way, are you trusting God with your loved ones? Those people that we prayed for a while ago, it's hard to trust God with our loved ones and let God have his way with them. But listen, I'm going to show you from chapter 2 in the weeks to come that God will bring those that are saved to the door of hope. God will never leave the saved to themselves. He will never abandon those of his own. And I'm glad that he doesn't. And so if your loved one is saved, you rest assured God is at work in their life. Listen, I know, I get it. It may not look like it. It may not appear. But I'm here to tell you, the wheels of God, though they may sometimes turn slowly, thank God they turn surely. The wheels of God are turning, brethren. So chapter 2 begins this way. Say unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Our relationship has been fractured. It's been broken. We no longer are together in husband and wife relations. She's chosen loves over her love. Sound familiar? To a group of people that had began to make alliances. When you study the times of the kings and the times of division that was going on between Judah and Israel and the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes and the division in their country that was going on here, they were trusting the alliances that they had with these pagan countries, and they were trusting Baal, and they were trusting the gods of rain and the gods of lust and the gods of fertility to bring about the things that they should have been trusting the God of heaven for. But they had found lovers. No different than our day. No different than our day. And I want you to see a couple of things that happened here. Now, I want to give you a few things that I think would be insightful. So he says to the children, I want you to go. I want you to go and plead with your mother. She's not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. It's not going to be good for Gomer. She thinks she's chosen the right path. You know, sin is so alluring, isn't it? It promises so much and delivers so little. There's pleasure in sin. You know, I've heard preachers get up and try to preach to make people believe that sin's no fun. Stop it. Just stop that. Any person with a brain knows that sin is fun. This is where you say amen. It's not profitable. The Bible even says there's pleasure in sin, but it's just for a season. You see, the devil will show you the front side. All you have to do is just watch a couple of television commercials. People drinking and, boy, living it up. But you know, that's not where drinking ends. Please hear your preacher tonight, young folks, and maybe some older folks. That's not where drinking ends. I've been in the ditch of a drunk. Okay? Drinking doesn't end at a party and, woohoo, this is great, living it up. Cool. Yeah. That's the first part of the season. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But then there's payday. There's consequences for choices. And it may not be that night. It may not even be that week. But there's always a price to pay for disobedience, for sin. There's no sin that God will not punish. There's always repercussion for disobedience. And so here's Gomer, and she leaves out, and God says it's going to get hard for Gomer. But I want you to notice in verse number 5, it says, their mother played the harlot. She hath that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers. Now, a lot of times, and I didn't mark them all down, but I would like for you to go through and just mark, underline that word lovers. It's plural. She had many loves or lovers. She's living it big, okay? She's raking in the dough. She's living the high life. She's not your regular, all right? So I don't want you to lose that picture. This is the way sin always starts out. It promises everything. And she has really got it going on. But God has already said what was going to happen. And by the way, in your life and mine, God has already told us what the end of sin is. It's death, brethren. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's James chapter 1. Oh, it won't be with me, preacher. Now, yes, it will. Now, yes, it will. You're no different. You're not excluded from God's punishment of sin, nor am I or anyone else. So don't fool yourself. And don't let the devil deceive you. And so the scripture says, in verse number 5, she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. In other words, I'm going to go after all of those that's going to give me all that I could want in life. All that I could ever want. I'm going after my lovers, and they're going to provide me with all of these things. Now, here's where the ingratitude comes in, and I don't want you to miss this. She doesn't understand where resources come from. We live in a world that does not understand where resources come from. We have churches filling up with people who do not understand where resources come from. Brethren, everything that I have is from the good hand of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. All that I have I owe to God. And I would be, it would just be a shame for any of us to get to the place where we feel like, well, you know what? It's this corporation, or it's this family member, or it's this situation, or it's this investment. Listen, listen to me. Everything that we have is from the good hand of God. And so the scripture says, don't you miss this now. In verse number 5, she said, I will go after my lovers. They're the ones that give me the bread. You know, and so you see what happened, how she got lured away and how she got her thinking mixed up. She got mixed up and she said, in order for me to have what I need of what I want in life, I've got to go after my lovers, not my love, my lovers. My love can't provide it. I've got to go after my lovers. But what she didn't know, and I want you to watch this, look if you would in verse number 6. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, there's three times, and I want you to highlight them in your Bible, that this word therefore, and in the next week, the Lord willing, will come back, therefore. God said, because she has this mindset, I'm going to do something. Verse number 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. We'll come back and break that down in the weeks to come. Look at verse number 9. Therefore, will I return and take away my corn in time thereof. And then in verse number 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. So there's three things that God said he's going to do because she's gotten mixed up and she's lost her way. She's lost her way. She's gotten off track. Her mind is not thinking spiritually. She's been deluded. She's been deceived. And it can happen. Amen. It can happen. Oh, now, preacher, it won't happen to me. Well, I pray that it doesn't. Maybe it's already happened to some. I've been deceived and deluded by sin. Listen, it's not a shame for it to happen. It's a shame when you won't confess it and admit it. You have to acknowledge. You can't just say, well, you know what? That's never happened to me and it's never going to happen to me. Well, listen, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There's probably a dark day around the corner if you don't wake up. And so the scripture says, therefore. Now, look if you would in verse number 7. It says, she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. You know what's happening here? Times are changing. She's no longer in high demand. She's following after her lovers, those that, you know, provided all those things for her. She's lost her luster. She's lost her sparkle. And so she's fallen after them, but they're no longer needing her. They're no longer needing her services. And so watch what happens. It says, she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. They have no more use for her. Listen, this is what sin in the world does. It will use you up and spit you out. It'll take the best that you have to offer and then be done with you. And the sooner we get a hold of this, the better off our lives will be. But the devil's very convincing. You know, have us to believe, oh, no, no, no. You still have, listen, you still have it. You still, and the list goes on, brethren. The list goes on of deception and delusion. Let's read on. When she gets to this place and she feels like she's lost that was the provision, and when she feels like she's lost that was the thrill, and that was the provision and the life that she wanted to live, when she couldn't find it, she said, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. You know, some people use God that way. They you know what, when things have run out, when there's a crisis, I'll just go back and, you know, it was better for me. It's always got to be about me. We just live in that kind of society, don't we? You know, it's just, it's got to be about me and what I want and what I need and what's in it for me. You know, so it's better for me. I don't care how much I've hurt Hosea. I don't care how much I've hurt God. I don't care how much that others are hurting. But it's better for me. I think I'm just going to go on back. Now, I'm glad that she realized that, but it makes me wonder if, you know, the real motive behind it. Let's read on. Verse 8 says, "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." Do you know what's happening here? Please don't miss this. So her lovers are out doing what lovers do, and I'll not get into detail here, with their other clients. And Hosea brings to her lover's residence provision, the same thing. And he says, "Listen, it seems like you're falling on hard times. And things are not the way that they were. I'm hearing that Gomer's not in high demand, and she sought and she can't find. And you see what happened there? You see? And it doesn't appear that she's getting all these things. But I tell you what, I'm going to provide for her, and don't tell her I did it. I'm just going to give for her because I care for her." Now I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been backslid on God, not right in your heart, and God bless you? Well, church, have you? You either have or you haven't. If you've been saved longer than 24 hours, yes, God will bless you. Even when you're chasing lovers. Now, I don't suggest that you chase lovers. And by lovers, I mean in this context of the statement I'm making, things that you should not love, the things of the world, the things that you should not be pursuing in life. You should be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But yet God will bless even when you're not. And so this is what's happening here. And I want you to see what the end of this verse says. And so Hosea gave it to her. But notice the end of it. "She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared." So her lovers say, "I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you, but here's what we're going to do. We've had a breakthrough, and we're going to offer up offerings to our gods." They offered up to Baal. Is that what the scripture says? They prepared these offerings. They prepared them for Baal, the false gods. Now here's a man of God that God had provided for, and so he gave to Gomer, and yet her lover said, "No, this is for us." Now, before you get too mad, I want to ask you, how are you in your stewardship? What are you giving to other gods? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. It's just, that's what's happening here. God's wanting these people to see. I'm sure by now these people are furious. How dare them? I can't believe that Gomer would do that. How dare her to take something? Oh, Hosea loved her, and I don't see why he's still with her anyway. He went down there and gave her that, and the nerve. Well, I heard that they offered it up to Baal. You know, sometimes God will bless you. If you're not careful, you'll go buy something that you have absolutely no need of having. You'll spend it on something you have no need. I can't tell you how to spend your money, but I'm going to tell you there's a book here that'll tell you how to be a good steward of it. Is that right, church? It's easy. It's easy to look at Gomer and say, man, I tell you, this is ridiculous. Why don't you just move on from her, Hosea? God, why didn't you move away from Israel? When the question should be, God, why are you still patient with me? That should be the question. God, you love me still. I've done dumb stuff after dumb stuff. And God, you still love me. That's no excuse to do dumb stuff. But we've all done things that we just think, that was stupid. We're going to look at Psalm 73 Sunday, the Lord willing, and that's exactly what he said. He said, I was ignorant. I was like a beast. I was stupid. I can't believe how stupid I was to say that or do that or whatever. Now let's bring this to a close. So here's a woman that started out and she had many lovers and was just exceeding expectations and very busy at her trade. But then things slowed down. The tides turned. And when she sought for work, wasn't there. Times began to get a little scarce. Now, I think the reason that they did, if you'll look in verse number 6, God said, I'm going to hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. God said, I'm going to start draining that swamp. You listening? God said, I'm going to take some fun out of that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. You might think, well, this is fun and this is productive and this is paying off, but sin never pays. Not good. Sooner or later, the good runs out. And it did here. And that's why she found herself in the straits where Hosea, who was a picture of God, was providing for her. She'd have done without had it not been for him. And even then, as if that was not, you know, a blow enough in the face of her husband, she took what he gave, and that her lovers claimed that it was from them, and they offered it up to Baal. That's what the scripture says. And God said, it's time to tighten the vise. Therefore, will I return in verse number 9 and take away some things. You say, well, God can't do that. Well, I'm here to tell you, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. God can give, and God can take. God can do anything he chooses to do. It's his. So here is the story of a wayward nation who God loved with an everlasting love. And he said, I want you to go, my prophet, and I want you to tell them that I love them, and I want you to live it out, and I want you to show them how much I love them, that though they are adulterers, spiritual adulterers. By the way, you are too. That's where you were when God found you. We're all spiritual adulterers. Yeah, not me, preacher. Come on now. Read James 4. The Bible says we're not to be a friend of the world. James 4. We're not to love it. 1 John 2. We're not to be spotted from the world. James chapter 1. We're not to be conformed to the world. Romans chapter 12. Hey, we have a problem. We have to learn what it is to come out from the world. And until we do, we're going to disappoint God the way this Gomer disappointed her husband, Hosea. The children of Israel did. They went a-whoring after the gods of the countries that surrounded them. Now, how are we going to close this out? God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Though you've done this, I want you to know that I've still got a plan for you. And I'm just going to point them out. I want you to underline them. Would you do that? Look at verse 13. Well, the latter part of verse 13 said, as she went after her lovers. You see that? Look at that phrase, and forgot me. And that's got to be, I'm telling you, that's got to be hard there. She forgot me. You ever forget God? Do you see what God is doing here? She got so enthralled and so involved with her lovers that she forgot her love. It can happen now. It can happen. We can get so caught up. This old flesh, I'm telling you, this flesh is powerful. It has strong passions. God is painting a picture here that this wife of a prophet who represents a nation who ultimately represents me and you can get so caught up in what our passion, what our way is, that we forget about God. What He said, what He's done, she forgot me. But this is what God said I'm going to do. Verse 14, He said, I will. And I want you just to underline it now. I'm going to close in prayer. God said, I'm not going to give up on you. This is where the door of hope comes. It's kind of a bleak picture. But God said, I just want you to know, I don't give up on people. Thank God He's that way. I just thank God that He's that way. God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't. And I'm glad that He doesn't. And He said, I tell you, I will. He didn't say, I want you to do. Now listen, watch it now. Verse 14, do you see that phrase there? I will allure her. Verse 14, look at verse number 15. I will give her. Look at verse 17. I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth. Look at verse number 19. I will betroth her. Look at verse number 21. I will hear, saith the Lord. And then verse number 23, I will sow her unto me in the earth. God said, I'm going to do many things for her as she comes through the door of hope. I've got great plans for her. Amen. God has great plans for you too. Don't you forget that now. Oh, God's through with me. No, if God was through with you, you wouldn't be with us here tonight. He said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. God knows everything you've done and then some. God knows not only what you've done, He knows what you're going to do. And God said, I've got a plan for you. I'm not going to give up on you, so don't you give up on you. All right? Don't give up on you. And don't give up on those you love. Let's stand to our feet. This book of